This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful. I think this is going to be beautiful weather for a few days. Have you heard anything to the contrary?
No. I think the great thaw is upon us, and so we'll get out from under the sub-freezing temperatures, and the ice and the snow and the frozen tundra is melting. And I think we're getting into the 60s yesterday, and I think today is like in the 70s. And so I think it's going to stick around for a little bit.
Well, you know, if it's all right with everybody, I'd just rather go on like we're going. I need this 60-degree weather.
Yeah.
You know, the other morning when it was 12 degrees, it wasn't very comfortable.
No, that makes it a little bit uncomfortable. The good news is, though, here in Texas, when we have a little bit of winter, we only have it for a couple of days. And like up in like the Northeast, they've got winter for like 5 months.
And, you know, I couldn't take it.
No.
I mean, 3 days of this, did you know that I have not even been going into the office? It's been so cold.
Yeah, I believe that. It's been bone-chilling cold.
Yeah, it's been too cold, and I have my priorities, you know.
Sure.
It's just a little chilly here. I think I won't go in today.
Well, we have to stay warm and safe.
That's right, and, you know, it's just it's so unusual in Texas, as far as I'm concerned, to have this kind of bone-chilling weather.
Yeah, this is a little too cold.
It's too cold for me, I can tell you.
So,
other than that, let's give out the phone number.
Let's do that thing.
Okay, 877-588-3330. And we're 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, that phone number, that's not something to call today because there's nobody actually in the office. So,
no,
what you want
is,
to do?
Well, yeah, this is Saturday. I keep forgetting.
Yeah.
You know, when I miss a couple of days, I lose it, and I think that we're still in the middle of the week, and we're not.
Yeah.
Today is Saturday. They can call Monday.
Yeah, that's what you get for taking a few days off from the cold weather.
That's right. It makes me crazy, doesn't it? Well, and I've gotten a couple of emails this week from potential customers,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I know they're not listening to everything that we say, because this gentleman, one gentleman had the $100,000, but he didn't have enough income. He didn't have the $200,000 income, and didn't have enough assets.
Oh.
So I think we need to go back over this, reiterate what the qualifications are.
Okay. So first of all, this is an alternative investment opportunity. So this is for people who are tired of the stock market, the ups and downs, the worries. Of course, there's more ups now than there have been in a while. But we know with every up comes some downs. And so we know it's coming at some point. So the stock market makes people very, very nervous. And this is a great opportunity to, over the long term, invest in a life insurance policy, and over time we build wealth, we grow that, we grow those profits, and this is how we plan for retirement. So when you're investing in a life insurance policy, you must be accredited, and that means...
That means if you're going to be accredited, you've got to have either the $200,000 in income every year, or you've got to have $1 million worth without your house. And, you know, I always tell people that, and somehow sometimes they miss that. The other guy that sent an email said he had $22,000 and he'd been listening to the show. And I go, you know, there's something missing here. He missed the whole deal, you know, about what the qualifications are.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, my office is supposed to tell him again, and apparently someone didn't. And so I want, I don't want anybody to have hard feelings when they, you know, can't get in with us because they do not qualify.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I want to reiterate that to them, that not only must you have $100,000, you have to have $200,000 in income or the necessary assets of $1 million. You don't have to have both, but you must have one in order to do this program.
Okay, and there's a couple of reasons for this. Because first of all, if you start investing, the investment is not liquid.
No, a lot of people don't realize that. When you invest with us, you're buying a percentage of a life insurance policy, and let's say in 6 months you say, oh, I need my money back. Well, you can't do that. It's not liquid. You've already spent your money on the policy, and you get paid when the person matures. Mm-hmm. In other words, when they pass away, that's when the bank pays you. So to go through the whole program, when you invest with us, it goes directly to Nevada Trust. That's where your account is. And so when we open that account, Nevada Trust serves as the trustee for you. In other words, they handle everything. They pay the premiums on the policy. They're responsible for that. And then when that person passes away, they get the certified death certificate. They send it to the carrier, and then they pay you. Again, the bank handles everything. And that's for your protection. And checks are never made to Faye Bagby. They're never made to American Financial or any other company. So that is to protect you and to keep you and us on the straight and narrow at all times. So when people invest with us, let's say they invest $100,000. Well, if it's a rollover, if it's a 401k, it goes direct to Nevada Trust. There's no charge for that. Lots of times people say, well, what is this going to cost me up front? Nothing. When you do a rollover, there's no charge for that. And it just goes from a 401k, and it becomes an IRA because it's an individual account. It's no longer, you know, the company account for you. It goes into an individual IRA. And so, if, like you said, what happens if that person needs money? That means they were not qualified going in, to put it simply. A qualified person would not need any money in 6 months or 5 months because they have other money. If they have a 401k, you know, they have $300,000 or $400,000, maybe $600,000 in their 401k. They may have CDs. They may have an IRA. Lots of times people have a lot of different investments, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this may be one of many investments, or it may be their whole investment. We don't know. Depending on, you know, if they're coming to us when they retire, or if they're coming to us before they retire to get their retirement ready and started now.
So this is really an investment opportunity for somebody who has money in different places, because like you said, in case an emergency comes up, you can't get your money back to I mean, it's not liquid. You don't have access to it. So you want to make sure, or you have to make sure, that the investors have other money in other places, whether it is investments or it's other funds or accounts or property or things like that, so that they have emergency money, they have day-to-day living money, they have backup money. There's other opportunities, because you can't get this and you don't want to get pigeonholed. What kinds of like other monies would somebody have? Where would their assets be?
Well, a lot of people, they have ranches, they have cattle, they have, maybe they own their own company. We have a lot of people here in Midland that own their own companies. So they have other incomes coming in all the time.
Mm-hmm.
From their businesses. And they may own an oil company. They may own an automotive place. I can't even tell you all the owners of companies, you know, that are with us. We have every kind of company in the world. So those people have steady income. They have other assets besides what they have with us. They may have $300,000 with us or $400,000, but they may be worth $4 million.
Mm-hmm.
So those people would never say, you know, I need money. So if someone says that, that means when they came in, they did not have the assets to do this in the first place.
Okay.
And they may have storied a little bit, and it's going to come home to roost.
Oh.
Because years ago we would take $50,000. Well, and we found out that a person with $50,000 doesn't have the assets to do this with us. Okay. Quite frankly, they're a little bit short. So this is not really the right place for them. If they only have $50,000 and they have no other assets, they're going to get in trouble in about 6 months and be calling and say, I need some money. And it just doesn't work that way. So by doing $100,000, we help the people that really can be helped with our program. And it eliminates the smaller investor who really is not quite ready for this. You know, they need to get some more assets.
So in essence, you raised the bar is kind of like a vetting process.
Yes, we raised the bar to get the right investors. And another reason on the asset deal is the government requires that, you know, because we are regulated, heavily regulated, that's the requirement. And when we're filling out an application, it says, you know, here's the different ways you can come in. You can come in if you're got a trust. You can come in if it's a joint account with your wife. You can come in if it's an IRA. But then it asks, what is your assets? Do you have the $1 million? Or, in the alternate, do you make $200,000? So, you know, because we are regulated, we have to make sure they have these assets or that they have the income. And lots of times people will bring over their W-2s and they won't even think about that 401k. They think about the income, and they give us a copy, but then they forget, yeah, heck, I've got a 401k, you know, with $500,000 in it.
Mm-hmm.
So we sit down and add all the assets up. And I had a guy not long ago, he said, well, I don't know if I qualify. I said, well, go home, get your pen and pad, and add up all the assets. And then look at your income and see what your bonus was at the end of the year. They're back to getting bonuses now, good bonuses. And, you know, in 14, 15, after the crunch came, they weren't getting bonuses. So people during that time had to really check everything they had. Now it's not tight. They've got their bonuses, and they can go either way. And so they're comfortable now. They weren't during that two-year span when the incomes dropped so bad. And they say now they're going to add 30,000 people to Midland, Odessa this next year.
Really?
Where in the heck are they going to put them?
I have no idea.
Well, there's no housing for 30,000.
Well, yeah.
I just don't know what they're going to do.
I have a feeling we'll bust at the seams.
I think so. Remember when this happened before, they brought all those mobile homes in.
Yeah,
that looked really bad, and they put them all out in the country, filled those places up. And they had people from every state in the union here. And they also had people that were undesirables, you know. So I don't know what they're going to have this time.
Well, I don't know. Maybe last time they learned some kind of like schematic plan or something for when it comes back, and now maybe they've picked up some knowledge from last time, and maybe they'll apply it to this go-round.
That's what I'm really hoping.
Yeah. So you mentioned a minute ago about people who own their own company. Does company assets qualify, or is that separate?
Well, the way they qualify that, we ask, what are the assets? Will they own their own company? It's probably an LLC, and we just use that as their asset. Their corporation may be worth $3 million, $4 million, whatever. So they are qualified because they are the owner of that company. They own the stock in that company. So they're the 100% stockholder, so that applies to them.
Okay, cool.
So, everybody owns their own company is very much qualified. And as I said, we have many, many companies here in town that are with us. And then we have a lot of doctors. We have a lot of doctors that when they retired, they put their money with us. One of our doctors had been waiting and waiting for this one big policy to mature. It matured at Thanksgiving, and he said it was the best present he ever had, you know. He made about $50,000.
Oh, wow.
And so he thought it was a great investment. And we have another doctor that retired from Big Spring, and he got his first check this year already. And, of course, you know, we had so many this year. We had over 40 people, I think, that had either 7 or 8 maturities this year.
Wow.
Yes, we had more maturities than we've ever had. And it was just a wonderful year, and we were thankful for it. I know all of our customers were thankful for it. A lot of them here at the end of the year said, I have to pay taxes because they don't have an IRA. Theirs is just, just regular money. So we had to give them a copy of their portfolios, what they'd made, where they can give that to their CPAs, come January,
mm-hmm.
and where they'll be ready to pay taxes in April. And I know that a lot of ours, hadn't even thought about how many maturities they'd had. So a lot of them, as I said, had 8 maturities for the year, which is unheard of.
That's a lot.
It is. It's a wide lot, and it's just a wonderful thing that we've had that many. But we called them right, and we had a lot of really short ones. We had that one that was 6 months, and the guy died in 5 months, so that was calling it close.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was very close. So we're just thankful, and we've already started getting new policies in. We're getting in more than we did it last year at this time. We've had several million-dollar policies, and this week we bid on about $4 million again in policies.
Wow.
And we're finishing up a lot of policies, getting everybody in their policies. We've emailed them. They're coming back strong, saying, yes, put me in those policies. And, several, I told you the other day, we had 15 maturities that the money had not hit the bank yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 2 or 3 of those hit the bank this week. And I know I got messages from everybody saying, thank you, for getting that money into our accounts. And we're always thankful to do that.
How long does it generally take for money to get, once the policy matures, how long does it generally take to get into the person's account?
Usually about 6 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, because first we get notice of it, and that's from 21st Services. They're the ones that sends us notice. So we get the notice. Then, again, Nevada Trust steps in, orders a certified death certificate. They get that, and then they send it in. And by that time, the insurance company is ready to pay right away. Usually we get a check from them within 10 days.
Oh, wow, that's quick.
It is quick. They all pay. The insurance companies we use are the biggest in America, and they pay well. They just go in there. They see it's a legitimate policy. They look at the death certificate, and they pay. And, we've only had, we've had about 3 in the last 2 years. One, the man died in Mexico, and we had a horrible time, getting the death certificate. And once we got it, from Mexico through the consulate, then the insurance company questioned it because it was a death certificate from Mexico. So we had to shore that up. So that took a little longer. But usually it's just straightforward. We get the death certificate, we send it to them, and they pay.
Okay.
And, it's just nothing at all to get $4 million check, $2 million check. And then we get a lot of little checks, $200,000, $250,000. But they all work, and it's made people a lot of money this year.
Now,
they've made from 20 to 30%.
Wow.
Yeah, there was one actually paid 30%.
That's pretty significant.
And we thought it was very significant. And all these that were early, it gives us opportunity to turn around, reinvest their money in the same year. That's what I love, because that will really help them toward their goals of reaching a certain amount of money. It will really help.
Now, how does that work with, taxes? I mean, if somebody, obviously we want to avoid taxes as much as possible. So when somebody takes the profits from one investment and they put it into a new policy, does that help with taxes? Does it not affect anything at all?
Well, it depends. If you've got a 401, well, an IRA, the taxes are deferred till, you know, many years from now. So they make more money when you don't have to pay taxes. We all figure that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, there's the people that don't have an IRA, and they have to pay taxes this year, you know, for last year. So the person that's going to really do the best to start with would be the IRA people. But the other people, it's, you know, they made the money. They're glad to pay the tax on it, and it works out both ways. Now, this next year, as you know, in 19, all the corporations, you know, are only going to be paying 20, and that's going to help them a lot.
Yeah.
So if they have, an investment with us, and they own a corporation, and they're paying individually, of course, they'll get a tax break.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people will get tax breaks. I don't know, you know, the different categories yet, how much they'll get, but we're all looking forward to it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not anybody that's, you know, not going to want to take their tax breaks.
Yeah, oh yeah. So that's not going to change anything when we file in the next 4 months. But when we file a year from now, that's when we start reaping the benefits.
That's exactly right. 19, everything will change in 19. The economy is going to be so good, but 19, I think people will be dancing in the aisles. I believe they will, because the people that are on salary. Look at all them. Look what Apple did.
$2,500. Mm-hmm.
You know, to a salary person, that's a lot of money. Plus, their new taxes is going to be wonderful. And the child credits, my gosh, that's double for the working man and woman.
Yeah.
So I think this tax deal is really going to help. I think it'll be a wonderful thing. And I don't know of anybody that's not getting tax breaks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It looks to me like.
So,
especially for 19.
So then let me ask you this, and sort of a related thing. As tax breaks kick in and the economy gets better, and usually when these things start to happen, there's a big push for a raise in minimum wage. So as we get towards that, is that a good thing, or is there like a part B where the cost of goods and services raises, and then we just end up, you know, I guess with a compound problem, I guess. How does that work?
No, I don't think so. I think because the corporations are getting such a tax break, I don't think they're going to go up on their goods. I don't think so at all.
So the breaks will overcompensate for any cost in prices.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look at all these big corporations, they're all dancing in the aisles saying, my gosh, we can help our stockholders, we can help our employees. They're giving back out billions, not millions, they're giving out billions.
Yeah.
To the employees. I mean, that's a big deal, because they have so many employees in the United States who are saying, you know, we're going to give back, you know, $2 billion or something like that. It's millions upon millions. They're helping their people. A lot of them gave $1,000 bonus, and if that person makes less than $100,000, that's a lot of money for them.
Oh yeah,
you know.
And
the only ones that really screwed up is the states that made them pass this minimum wage deal for fast food.
Uh huh.
And those are going to be the people that are going to let some people go.
Yeah.
Because they're saying, how can you sell a hamburger, you know, for $4? And here you're paying $15 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
The numbers don't work.
And then, of course, it was the thing this week with Apple. How many billions of dollars did they write a check to the government for?
I just can't even believe exactly how much it was. It was billions.
It was significant. And so then that's going to help pump some money back in and really juice things up is what it seems like, to put it in a simple term.
Well, they're going to hire 20,000 people. They're going to build a plant in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going to be vying for that. Detroit is in the running, Wisconsin, all these states. And, you know, everybody would love to have an Apple plant. I mean, I don't care who you are.
Oh, yeah.
It will employ lots and lots of people. And it's just, you know, it's amazing. Everybody said if we get Amazon, they said they would hire 50,000 people. I don't even know how they'd find 50,000 in Texas.
I know, right?
I mean, that are not employed.
Yeah.
You know, how would that work out? I mean, I don't know. But I think that, like you said, Apple's going to bring money back from overseas, probably billions. A lot of companies are bringing their money back, and this is going to help the economy tremendously.
And so what does this do as we take a step back and we look at the stock market? What does this do to that? I know we keep having these record high days, but if somebody's investing in the stock market, is this a time that somebody should be riding high and celebrating? Or should we start to get a little bit leery, like, oh, this might be getting too high and the balloon may burst?
Well, I know on my account, if it was me, I would say, you know, let's don't get greedy. We've made a lot of money. Let's take this, maybe do something with Faye, maybe do an alternate, and then if it goes bust, I'm covered.
Yeah.
And a lot of people can't get their money out completely because they've got 401ks. But there comes a time when the employer says, yes, you can take your money out.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them, it has to be vested. That means you've got to have been there 10 to 15 years. And a lot of them say, until you either quit or we fire you, we're not going to let you have your money.
Yeah.
So they always have to check with their HR department to see what they can and cannot do. And then a lot of people, like you say, they have ordinary money. They can take that money and put it with us any day of the week. And I know a lot of people say, you know, they're glad to get out of the stock market when they come to us.
Mm-hmm.
They say, Faye, we would like to put this money with you. Now, I've got people that are going to move to farms this next year. Now, I don't know why you want a farm when you retire, but a lot of men do. So if they're going to have a play farm, and that's what it really is, you know, they'll buy, you know, 150 acres or something to play with,
yeah,
to keep busy. And they'll do a little farming, you know, maybe raise a little hay for some cattle, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. But I do know that you have to be prepared for how you want to live.
Mm-hmm.
So people that have retired, put their money with us, as I've said many times, we make sure they have enough cash at all times to live on, to do what they want to do. Plus, their interest is coming in all the time because they've got maturities all the time. So that's what we try to do for them. And they don't take their money out with us once they retire. They just tell us how much they need on hand and the same amount of cash at all times.
So is
and
it fair
have
to
a
say
lot doing that.
Is it fair to say that probably the safest strategy for investing and planning for retirement, saving for retirement, would be to diversify?
Yes, I think everybody in America should be diversified. That's why when people come to us, we don't put it all in one policy. You know, I don't think that's a good thing to do at all. Because if we have you diversified enough with enough different policies, there's something maturing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then that way, we don't have to say, well, you've just got $100,000, you've got it in this one policy, we just have to wait. Well, that's foolish. If we have two or three policies, like if you've got $250,000, $300,000, you've got enough different policies. We've got something maturing, and interest is coming in all the time to your account. And that's what you're interested in, getting that interest into your account.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the way I like to do it. Now, we've got one family, and they've got quite a bit of money with us, and they're only putting $75,000 in a policy. It's crazy. You should always have, like, $100,000 in a policy. That's my goal, to get everybody to do $100,000. Then we've got the big spenders, and they'll put $250,000 in a policy. You know, so everybody has different thinking. But always remember, if you've got $100,000 and you make 24%, that's $24,000.
That's pretty good for one investment, especially considering that investing in a life insurance policy is not affected by any external source whatsoever. So if something happens, you know, in the world, some kind of world event happens, or the stock market crashes, or anything, we know a number of things can affect the stock market, some good and a lot, not in a favorable way. So when you're investing in a life insurance policy, none of those factors make any difference. You basically set it and forget it and just wait.
That's exactly right, and that's what I love about it. You don't have to jump up at midnight, which I've talked to many a man, and when they're in the stock market, probably not as much now as a year ago, they were jumping up at midnight checking that stock, and that's stress. You don't need that extra stress.
Yeah.
And people with us are not stressed out, you know. I think they're doing fine. And I know one guy in the Dallas market, he came and visited me. He said, well, I've got four or five that are overdue. And I said, well, let me see. And I went over it with him, and we'd sent him an email in November. He'd had two maturities. He missed the email. Didn't even see it.
So he had money he didn't even know about.
He had a lot of money he didn't know about. And since then, he's had two more. And I'm going, this is crazy. He's not paying attention. And we do have people that don't pay attention. So, well, you know, you have to make sure they read their emails. It's so important.
I tell you what,
when
if you
don't read them, you don't know what's going on.
If you're going to get a surprise, having extra money and extra maturities is a great way to go.
It is a great way. And, you know, your wife can be proud of you because you're paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of, you know, not even noticing when you're getting emails from us saying, you know, your money's in the bank. And I've had two or three men, and they'd say, well, you know, I never did hear from you on that policy. And we looked it up, and we said, we sent you an email 2 months ago. The money is in the bank. And, you know, the Nevada Trust, when they get the money, and they put it in your account within 3 days. Always 3 days.
Wow.
So, you know, they don't have anything to worry about. They just have to pay attention.
So as part of the diversifying process, would this be a good time to, because I know a lot of people have a little bit of money everywhere, and it's kind of scattered. Would this be a good time to take a certain percentage out of the stock market just in case something happens? Because the last thing you want to do is be all in Wall Street, and then something happens, and then boom, your retirement is gone. You've lost hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, and then you got to start over. And that is heartbreaking. So would this be a good time to maybe take a certain percentage of that out and invest in something that is you know, relatively safe, you know, like this, before something potentially happens on Wall Street?
Well, that's what I would do. You know, I would always say, you know, be cautious. We've seen this old stock market go up a lot. We've seen it come down a lot. And we've seen things that could cause it, you know, major things in the world. And I would be cautious, and I would say, you know, I need a percentage over here with Faye. I need a percentage that is not going to be affected by world events.
Yeah.
Not just U.S. events, but world events affects the stock market every day, as you know. So the best way to do it is be cautious. You can do more than one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can walk and chew gum. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, a lot of people don't think you can, but you can. So my thought is always err on the side of caution. Look us up. Look what people have been making. Go to the website. You can look up. It's down there on the left. It'll say, you know, it'll show what we've made in the last 2 years. You need to look it up. See what people have made. Don't just take my word for it. Look it up. It's in black and white. It tells you what my clients have done. And, of course, everybody recommends us every week. We get almost everybody comes on a recommendation. Either that or they've been listening to us for a long time, and they're going to quit procrastinating.
Mm-hmm.
Procrastination is the worst thing in the world. You can miss out in life on so many things for procrastinating. It's just like at the end of the year when all these department stores are having a sale. You know, I had to make a return the other day. I'd bought someone a tablecloth. And it was the last day to still get the big discount. So I almost procrastinated too long.
Uh-oh.
And it was, yeah, and I don't usually ever procrastinate, but I'm not used to making returns. And so I didn't realize, you know, that I needed to get that in where I could get that bonus money.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and so that it's really important to do those things.
And so you can, obviously, as you were mentioning before, you can go to the website to see what people are actually making. These are real hardcore numbers. You can also see testimonials from people who have been investing and see really what they've gone through. What's their experience like? You know, what's the process like? Get a little bit more familiar with the process itself. And the website you're referring to is AmericanFinancialMidland.com, and that's where all the information is. And the phone number again, Faye, is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're 3105 Big Spring. We've been there for years. Do you realize that?
How many years?
I think 10 years.
Oh, wow, that is a long time.
Yeah, and we've been in business 17 years.
My goodness gracious. So you've been around the block a time or two.
We have, and we've seen things come and go. We've learned a lot. We've corrected a lot of mistakes, you know, and you know, in this many years, I think we know something about life settlements now.
Yeah.
It took a while.
I would hope so. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. And every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia. And you always bring the most interesting things to the table, whether it's, you know, interesting facts or things to do or things to put on our bucket list or places to go. What are we talking about today?
This is a place you should go. We're going to talk about a little town called Shiner, Texas.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's in Lavaca County, South Texas, and it was named after Henry B. Shiner. Now, in 1885, they had a post office down there, and what it was called at that time was Half Moon. Now, can you imagine naming a little town a post office named Half Moon?
No.
Well, it was opened at a trading post. And in 1887, Henry B. Shiner donated 250 acres for a depot, a right-of-way for the San Antonio and Aransas Pass Railroad. And he bypassed Half Moon. And so they built through his donated land, and the town grew around his transportation. Well, the town initially called itself New Half Moon. But then, 1888, the town's name was changed to Shiner, and they incorporated in 1890. Now, there was 340 people there. Not very many.
Wow, that
but
is
the
small.
Czechs, yeah, the Czechs and the Germans came, and as you know, they're a very dominant ethnic group. So Shiner developed a Czech community. And if you know the Czechs and the Germans, you know, they do the kolaches. They do so many different things. And ranching was an important part of the town's history, of course. And the notable families, they have a museum down there about these families. And the Wellhausen family and Edwin Walters, and they have a memorial museum and the Shiner Wellhausen Park there. But the big thing was they have the Spetzel Brewery there. It's the oldest independent brewery in the state.
Ooh.
And it's best known for producing Shiner Bock.
Cool.
And it's a dark German Czech beer. It's now distributed in 49 states. And I've heard about Shiner Bock all my life. And, you know, the people there live to be about 100. And they always say it's because they drink this beer, and, you know, it's got all the good old ingredients in it. It's got this grain in it, as you know, and it seems to make them live a long time.
Cool. That's a good excuse to drink beer.
I know it is. And the ladies even drank it there.
Really?
And they've all lived a long time. And I think it's the hops, something about those hops.
Yeah.
And it's also home of a historic Casper Companies, one of the oldest continually operating company in America.
Really?
Yes. And the Casper Companies, it's a holding company. It has ranch and truck accessories, Texas precious metals, Bedrock truck beds, and Casper Manufacturing right there in Shiner, Texas.
Wow.
Little bitty town. They don't have but 2,000-something people living there.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
So they've gone from 340 to like 2,000.
Yeah, I mean, no big deal there. And as I said, they make kolaches, they have a bakery. You know, it's the old Czech, the way they did things back in Czechoslovakia and Germany and all this. And almost everybody is Catholic. You know, most of the Czechs and the Germans were Catholic, and they brought that here with them. Now, they have the Shiner Independent School with Shiner High School Comanches, but they also have the Shiner Catholic School, and it operates as St. Paul High School and St. Lamelia Elementary School. And, you know, that goes way, way back to the Catholics, and most of them have not changed. And the Shiner Gazette, the newspaper, was established in 1892.
Oh, wow.
So it's a very, very old place, a great place a person should go through the brewery, do all this. They also have an opera there, an opera house.
Really?
They have a beautiful old opera house, and I don't know what year it started, but it's a great little place to go and see an opera in South Texas. Can you imagine?
Wow. So there's a lot of history in this town.
Lots and lots of history. If it hadn't been for Mr. Shiner and the railroads, this little place wouldn't even be there today. And to think that they called it Half Moon, then New Half Moon, and then in honor of Mr. Shiner, it became Shiner, Texas. And these immigrants have not changed their ways. They've just incorporated their beliefs and their way of doing things and making beer. That's what they did in the old country, and they just brought that to here and said, you know, we think we'll just make beer because we know how to do it, and they knew how to ranch.
Wow.
And so those Czechs and those Germans are still going strong, and you don't hear about them changing their ways. I think it's a wonderful thing to have a little town like that.
It sounds like a nice little oasis down there.
It is, and it's a good place to visit, and you need to see their opera house and their museum about those two families.
Yeah.
Because of all they did. And, of course, ranching is important, but that other little company has been there, and it's one of the oldest companies in America.
Wow.
So it'd be a good place. Another one of those places you need to write down to go and see.
Yeah, go to Shiner, Texas, just to drink the healthy beer that makes you live into your hundreds.
I'm telling you, you'll see people there, old people just going strong. You know, they're walking and talking. They're not in any nursing homes.
No.
No. They're still in business. They're still ranching. And they're still drinking that beer and making that beer.
Clean living.
Clean living. And most of us would say, well, you know, we want to drink. And the doctors are saying that beer will keep you going almost to 100. Now, I'm telling you, I knew two little old ladies. This is years ago. They sent their son a letter. Mm-hmm. And they were in their 90s. And they said, well, we've been down to Coors Brewery sipping suds again. And they would go every day and have a couple of beers in their 90s.
Wow, how cool.
And remember, most of the Germans built rock houses.
Mm-hmm.
And these ladies lived in a rock house and had lived in it all their life.
Really?
And I imagine in Shiner, Texas, I'll bet you will find a lot of old rock houses.
Cool.
Because when they first came here, they built them out of rock.
Yeah,
because
that's what they knew.
That's what they knew from Germany. And I know they have newer houses now, but it's still a very small town. So I bet you would find some rock houses in Shiner, Texas.
Wow. How cool. That is definitely one of those gems that you need to go visit at some point.
I think so. We're going to have enough things for you to do to keep you busy a long time.
You could publish a whole book of all your destinations.
That's right. That's what we need, a book of destinations for newbies, yeah. You know.
Faye's book of places to go in Texas.
That's right. Places that everybody's got to go and see.
I love it.
I think an opera there, if you go and see the opera, but see the opera before you have the beer.
Yeah.
You know, I think it could work out really well.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, neat. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And this is all about growing your money so that you can retire happy, wealthy, and early. And that's the thing, really, is the planning that goes into it. Because I'm sure that there are people who maybe in their 40s, maybe in their 50s, have not done proper planning. They're not really sure of how much they're going to need. And this is part of the process. It's not just about one investment and then you're out. It's about investing in multiple policies. It's about growing and taking the profits, reinvesting them into other policies. And that's, I assume, Faye, what most of your investors do, right?
They do. We invest. In fact, when they get their money in, they think it's going to be just so fast. They say, okay, when can I get a new policy? I'm going, you got to give us some time. You know, give us a little bit of time, okay? And, you know, it usually takes 30, sometimes 45 days to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we're turning money around as fast as we can. But you never get even. You know, you never say, okay, all the money's invested. It just doesn't work that way because we have so many policies maturing all the time.
Yeah.
And so we're investing for them every day.
So what about, like, membership fees or anything like that? Is there something?
Okay, the fees is by the banks. The banks charge a fee, you know, to handle their money. Nevada Trust charges $250. Our friends over at Nevada Trust are charging $350. And, of course, to us, they're charging a lot. I think we paid them $75,000 last year.
Woo!
So we pay most of the fees, okay?
Wow.
Yes, we pay most of the fees.
So the fees to investors are very, very little.
That's right. Very small.
All right.
And that won't hurt them ever.
What about the risks?
Oh, well, there's always risk. There's risk to everything you do in life, and this is no exception. The biggest risk is it may go over. And if you can't pay $500 or $1,000 or when it goes over, it's not for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is a deal that has some risk, and you know it every time you do it. And when we send you that page 14 and you read it and sign it, it tells you what it would cost you if it goes over. We tell you what percent you're going to make. We tell you what kind of cancer it is, who the person is, what the face amount of the policy is. And they, you know, they have to read all this and then sign it. So everybody knows what the risk is every time.
It sounds like, though, once somebody goes through the accreditation process, if they've gotten to that point, it kind of sounds like, and I'm just assuming here, but it sounds like if a policy does go over and somebody has to pay their share of the premium, it doesn't sound like it's going to be one of those make it or break it types of things.
No. You know, it's small enough that most people, it doesn't affect their thoughts at all.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them have already talked to me. They know everything about the policy. You know, we've sent them the information on the policy, so they're prepared, okay?
Okay. That's two risks, and there's a third one.
That's right. If a company ever went broke, they might have to wait on their money. If a life insurance company did go under, we haven't had one go over in years, and never in Texas that I know of. So we feel like that is the least possible risk in the whole world.
And so that's it. Just three risks.
That's it. There's three risks.
And they're relatively small.
And I think they are a manageable risk. If I didn't, we wouldn't do it.
Yeah, they're extremely minor, especially when you compare it to the stock market.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, it can't just swallow you up in a day, okay?
So for somebody who's never done this before, and they're listening for the first time, and they're intrigued, and, we're talking about these life insurance policies, what types of policies? Because you're not just out, willy-nilly buying any old policy. You're looking for very specific types.
That's right. We don't want to do old people. We've gone through this a million times, and I still say, no old people. We're not doing it if you're 80. We're not going to buy a policy 90 or 94. I don't care how good it looks on paper. We're not doing the elderly. We've done it. We've been there. We're still waiting for it. We've got the lantern out for three policies.
Ooh.
That have never come due. And we know they're going to die, but my gosh, will we be around to see it? That's the question. I mean, life is tough, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And we've gotten two or three of those. We only like three. But I don't want to wait. I don't want to ever do this again, and we won't. And, we want to do people early 70s, and, we'll do somebody 30 years old, 37, whatever. Doesn't matter. And ours come due early. They come due strong. People are making a lot of money, and we're not messing with it. We know what we're going to do. We've got the parameters set, and we're not going to change it, okay?
Mm-hmm. And those parameters include life insurance policies of people who have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
That's right. We want them. We read those, and I read it over and over, and we try to make the right decision and the right policies, okay?
Mm-hmm. And the reason that you're looking for these types of policies is because the policyholder, in many cases, once they're diagnosed, treatments can be very, very expensive. And so in order to pay for those treatments, they need a money source. And the quickest way for them to find it is oftentimes to go ahead and sell their policy. But for this to work, you have to be there, or somebody has to be there to buy it. And you're bidding on these policies along with other companies.
Yes, we're bidding every day. We bid against Magna every day. We won that one against Magna, and that might be the only one we win against them, but there's a lot of other companies we bid against, and we usually get them because we bid hard. We know, what kind of cancer it is, and we know what the odds are. So, we're bidding on them every day, and we're getting a lot of policies in.
Now, speaking of Magna, I know you often say that the first quarter of the year is generally tough because the competition is very stiff. Companies like Magna, these big, huge companies, and this is what they do. They come in and they buy these policies. They over-aggressively bid on them. They swoop them up. What is it looking like so far this year? I know we're only, 3 weeks into the year, but what does the landscape look like so far?
Well, we're doing better. We're doing better this year, I think, than we've done in the past.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me like we're doing a lot better. That's just the way it seems, okay?
Is it because you're bidding more aggressively, or these other companies are slacking off a little bit?
I don't know. I know we're doing aggressive, but I think we're just flat out bidding some of them that don't want to spend this much money, because, there's only three or four that we outbid. Other than Magna, and of course, we're not going to outbid them most times.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're doing better than last year at this time. I think we've bought more policies already than we did last year.
So things for 2018 look very, very good.
I think it looks great. I think we're going to have a fabulous year. I really do.
Now, I know we're talking about, investing in life insurance policies, but if somebody is not accredited, if they're already saying, oh, my gosh, I know I'm not going to meet the qualifications, are there other options that they can come in and talk to you about as other ways to prepare for retirement?
Yes, they can come in. We can talk about annuities. Our annuities pay well. People have made money. We look at them, and when we get in the statements on everybody, we look at their statements, see what they made. And so annuities are going good. It's a good retirement, a vehicle for anybody. They can have a 10-year or 7-year, and it will help them a lot, especially for the people that are not qualified to do our program.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people aren't. So, they have to have 25 to 50,000 at least, even to do one of those. You can't do one for $10,000.
Okay. So for somebody who's finally come to the end and they've decided, okay, I need to get up. I need to start taking this seriously. I need to start planning. What are like one or two or three things that somebody should do like today, like right now?
Well, they need to put their papers together and then make an appointment. If they've got a 401k, if they've got an IRA, or if they've just got CDs, they have to let us know, okay?
Okay. And one last time, Faye, what is the phone number that they need to call Monday morning?
Okay, it's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're right there next to Ivy Cottage at 3105 Big Spring.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.